The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody. It's a Saturday morning, March the 16th. Tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day. I'm Peter Boyles. This is 710 KNUS. We are Denver's talk station. The weather, high 40s today, much the same thing on Sunday. And then the sun comes back Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We got a good radio show. We'll begin with an open lines hour. And then going to bring in Jim Emery to talk about Ramadan. But what's more important is this coincidence, Easter and Passover and Ramadan, and the similarities between the three, where they come from and what they mean. I had a long conversation with Chuck Bonnewell this week, and it isn't anybody's fault. He knew about, like, what is Ramadan really about and why. So we're going to do that in the 10 o'clock hour. In the meantime, as I cut away with John Caldera, I've been listening to people talk about the best interest of the country. And I want to come back to some the caller that John was having about the Second World War in the United States involvement prior to Pearl. And the same thing true in the Ukraine. But ask yourself these questions. We start to talk about, do you believe, and this is all open lines and jump it anywhere you want, does the government have its people the best interest in mind? And I was trying to write much of this down last night. Are people really still under the impression that the government of this country, or any government for that matter, I guess, really has its best interest in mind? Does the American government represent the interest of its citizens? And I saw Joe Biden give another 300, what was the number of millions of dollars into the fight into the Ukraine. I've heard politicians, and this is one we were kicking around, that the United States doesn't have interest in citizens' minds. They have interest in their minds, and that goes back to some things John was talking about. But why does this country officially define itself, we have core interests, core values? And I'm stumped at this. Why does the government have your best interest at heart? Do you actually believe that the administration, the Polis administration, or the Biden administration, or for that matter, the Trump administration, really had your best interest at heart? Is the government harmful to its citizens? One I wrote to myself last night. Is it true the government doesn't have our best interest in mind? Well, obviously. And do you trust the government to have your best interest, or your children's or grandchildren's? And is the government, has it become adverse to this phrase entitled, we the people? I firmly believe that it's drifted away, but I hear people use that term in the best interest of this country. Well, the way I see the world, the best interest of this country isn't anything I'm watching happen now. And I heard John and a caller talking about prior to Pearl Harbor, but the evidence is pretty overwhelming. FDR began Lend-Lease. Remember, when your neighbor's house is on fire, you lend him the hose to put the fire out. And we are sending destroyers to Great Britain, and the United States is securing places around the world to be used as bases. Bermuda, different places were being used, and they were leased back for lending the destroyers. I think it's, and I'm an FDR fan, but it's pretty overwhelming. FDR wanted into the war. And when it comes to the war against the Japanese that didn't start until Pearl Harbor, the United States was well entrenched in helping out in China. If you remember the stories of the Flying Tigers, and the Tigers were American pilots, although flying for Chiang Kai-shek, flying for Claire Chennault, But we're involved. And much the same as in Ukraine. We're definitely involved. And the United States was involved. And we were helping and ended up helping Soviet Union, doing our very best to help the British. Or FDR was he was very pro-Britain. And he goes off and they meet, of course, and they're sending things across. We can start in open lines. We'll start with Ted. Hey, Ted, you're on a radio show. It's a Saturday morning. Thank you for calling.
Good. Hey, listen, Pete, in terms of the Pacific area before World War II, we had put a lot of embargoes and sanctions on Japan.
Oh, absolutely.
And that, you know, they're an island country in the same situation, much like the Brits were. A family friend of ours was a geologist for a large oil company. And about maybe 6 or 8 months before Pearl Harbor, they pulled all those guys out of what we now call Indonesia. So there was
The Vichy French had made a deal, particularly about Indonesia, that the Japanese could use Indonesia. I mean, and this is just so despicable of the French, but that war was coming. And one of the agreements or attempted agreements was for the Japanese to leave China. And if they would leave China, then this would calm down. But in the meantime, and I've just got finished, I'm just really reading so much of this, the Japanese look around and say, well, here's the Americans in the Philippines. Here is the French in Indochina. Here's the British in India. The Dutch were in, where were the Dutch? But they had, in essence, had surrounded. Oh, and the Soviet Union had expanded. And they saw themselves as trapped by white people. I mean, you do with that as you may. Oh, of course. And that they were being encircled. And it was one of the, when they finally sat down, and the only way out, and it was a repetition, Pearl Harbor was the repetition of what the Japanese had done. What year was it, in 1907 or something, when they defeated the Russians and it was a surprise attack? So, no, I mean, when I hear people in those conversations, you're right. The United States was very much involved leading up to both of those wars. Or to
the
defeat
of the Russian Navy, I mean, that was the final straw.
Yes.
It tipped over the Tsar.
No, that was before that, but the world was shocked because non-white people had defeated white people. And that's what happened to the Tsar's Navy. Come on, I know the name of the battle, and it's not coming to me.
Fukushima Straits, I think.
Perhaps, you may be right. But, I mean, that conflict had been coming for years.
Oh, years.
And right now, I don't know if you're following, it's a great series called Shogun on television, and it stays true to Clavell's books and how that, you know, I mean, it's I don't want to say inevitable, but it's hard to believe that it didn't happen sooner.
Well, and, you know, the parallels are with what's happening today are just amazing. Eric Larson's book, you know, on Churchill during World War II is a fascinating read, and I would recommend it to you.
I actually read it. He was on the show.
Did.
Yeah,
great,
yes,
it?
Absolutely. He said, remember, he's an old colonialist, though, too. That's important. And by the time.
You know, you've been to those places, you've seen them, you know the culture, and, you know, he had a great analytical mind. I mean, he could see a lot of things, but he was, you know, representing at that time the most powerful country in the world.
And the Navy, the British Navy, probably kept them afloat. But he, you know, FDR is already involved more so in Europe than he is dealing with the Japanese. And finally, they come down to it, and there's like George Marshall and all these really brilliant men. They go, we take the Germans on first. Then we'll finish off the Japanese. And so when it's said and done, the Soviet Union defeated the Nazis. we defeated the Japanese.
Yeah, and, you know, have you read the Gladwell book, Bomber Mafia?
No.
Oh, you got to pick it up. It's about Curtis LeMay.
I'm reading about Curtis LeMay right now. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to love it, Pete. The one concluding thing was that after he had retired, he walked into a hangar smoking a cigar, and one of the airmen said, "Sir, you can't do that in here. You could cause an explosion." And he said, "They wouldn't dare."
Yeah, no, I didn't know this. This is I'm reading this as we speak. It's called "The Road to Surrender," and this guy read the diaries of all of these people. It's fascinating, but I didn't know that LeMay had Bell's palsy. Because he was famous for never smiling. And those pictures of him. And he also said if the war were the other way around, there was another outcome, that he would stand trial as a war criminal.
Yes, sir.
For what they had been doing.
Yeah.
So
listen, I just want to leave you with one thing, Pete, because I know you're busy today. I listened to the Supreme Court presentation from the Colorado Solicitor General, I presume. And if you've been worried about Hamilton Berger, he's still alive.
Yeah.
And he's working the Colorado Attorney General's office.
Nice line.
I haven't seen anybody beat up by judges since I got a couple of speeding tickets in front of Judge Feinsilver.
How did they think that they were going to pull that off? I mean, I was stunned, and I know some of the participants in it, and I thought, you can't be that irrational, but of course they were.
It was really. I mean, it was like watching an old Perry Mason show.
I agree. I love it, Carl. Thank you for a good one. Yes, sir. We'll take one more, and then we pause. We'll go to Ron. Ron on line two. Hey, brother man, good morning. Thank you. Welcome to the show.
Brother Pete, nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Regarding your question, does the government care about us? There's a book coming out, How to Prepare for the Next Civil War, and it's a Professor Paul. Have you heard about that?
Well, I know this film now, Civil War, is getting a lot of attention. There have been so many books, fictional, obviously, written about the Civil War. As you know, the people who murdered Alan Berg, there's a book called The Turner Diaries. And it's about a Civil War in this country between, quote, white Christian men and black people and Jews and others. And, I mean, so this theme that's reoccurring now or popping up now, I don't want to say it's age old, but it's been around for a while.
Well, he brought in an interesting the guy that's on the radio that does the Hillsdale thing all the time had him on.
Mm, okay.
And where he went with it was the concept of the colleges in the United States, the new universities, wanted to have doctorates. So they said, well, you've got to go to Germany to get educated and then come back and we'll make you a doctorate.
Hmm.
But out of that came, when they came back, they wanted to be identified as state socialists.
Frankfurt School, sure.
And they couldn't, so they changed the name to progressives.
Well, progressives is just a way of saying liberal. Liberal sort of burn its tail. And right after the fall of liberalism, then there's a new term called progressive. But there was something called the Frankfurt School. And if you look at these lines and maps of where things are connected, the Frankfurt School plays out and it produces many of these people who produce people.
That was in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Remember, some of it's before the Second World War, and some of it's a lot of it was before the Second World War, and in spite of what people believing that Adolf Hitler was a socialist, and because they were National Socialists, that was just a party that they had taken away, and and run, they were really blood and soil and the spirituality of being Germanic. And they were national socialism of, and you see it now. I mean, it's reappeared in a lot of places.
Right.
And we see it again.
I've got to get the book, because what this guy described was, he said that Hitler and the system viewed the country as an organism.
Yes.
And there were only duties for the population and no civil rights for individuals.
You know, it's I'm...
And I feel like, yeah, we're an organism.
Yeah, I should say all my life, but much of my life I've been drawn to reading about those people and how a whole nation, not the entire nation, but much of that nation could become under sway. And what did they really think? Not what they said, and this gets back to the questions, but not just to what, you know, they said one thing, but they did other things.
Yes, and Truman was one of the first presidents that used the progressive term.
Yeah, once I said, you know, Harry was a Democrat, but, I mean, the Democratic Party today would have nothing to do with Harry Truman, or for that matter, Jack Kennedy. Mm-hmm. They run him off.
Hey, Pete, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
I'm over my head.
You, both of us. 303-696-1971. Ramadan, the meaning of Ramadan, and what is Ramadan about? And it isn't, or at least to me, it's so interesting, Passover, Easter, and Ramadan. 710 KNUS 303-696-1971. Tomorrow, the High Holy Day, St. Patrick's Day, and Kellitrin. And this is new in the market. It's an amino acid, and it's safe and it's natural. And they've worked on this now 26 years of doing all this stuff. The benefits, you sleep better, is more energy, less joint pain, and your skin will feel better, look better. It doesn't interfere with any of your regular meds. 100% safe, stimulant-free, 86% success rate with weight loss. Easy one daily dose at bedtime, pills or liquid. Simple, it's convenient. Medical staffs are available to answer questions. Colitron is good for you and giving your body back what it needs. So you can phone order. The stuff is here. It's 833-TOPLOSS, 833-TOPLOSS. Or you can log on to toploss.com. 100% safe, even if you're on meds, because there's no drugs or stimulants. It's what makes this so different. Again, 833-TOPLOSS, or log on to TOPLOSS.com. Lou, what do you want to do? Want to pull the... All right, we can break. 303-696-1971. Whiskey in the jar. Turn that up a little bit. And he said, well, we'll get there. Then I pulled me rapier and then deliver, because I don't dig and dig a die. Whack for the Dario. Whack for the Dario. There's whiskey in the jar. It's a revolutionary song for the Irish. And says, I pulled me pistol, and then I pulled me rapier. It's a sword. His girlfriend gives him up. Jenny gives him up. The devil take the women. Now he looks for his brother. And he comes. He's like to find me, brother, the one what's in the army. Keep kicking that a little bit. Play it up a little bit. Finds them. Gives them up. She gives them up to the British. The Dario. Whack them. Now his brother's in the IRA. Here he comes. So... Jenny steals all of his weaponry, so he knows. They're going to hang him. They so want it out. Irish revolutionary music. See if he does this one on his brother. No. See? Chief. Grew up on that stuff. His brother treated him better than Jenny, the woman that gave him up to the British. I like to find me brother, the one what's in the army. Happy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Good morning, everybody. That music was so much of my childhood. And the notion of the Irish rebel and rebel music. And that stuff was outlawed. Obviously, the British didn't want that played. And we heard a lot when I was a kid. And it's tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day. And that song, There's Whiskey in the Jar. And he gets the colonel, and the woman deceives him, Jenny. And now in the end, the British have him again. And those guys, I mean, the whole history of that stuff is repeated around the world again and again and again, against colonialist, against imperialist. And tomorrow, St. Pat's, 303-696-1971. The question of the morning, and we're going to do Ramadan and Easter and Passover, but and Passover and Easter, but the best interest of the United States. And I listened to it again this week when Joe Biden was shipping weapons and money to Ukraine. And I'm thinking, is that the best interest of my country? And the term has been used again and again by politicos. And are people really still under the impression that the government, our government, is really in your best interest? And I wrote a bunch of things down for myself. We're going to bring some friends on here in a second. But do you believe the government represents the interest of you? Or, in fact, you believe that the government represents the interest of its citizens? And I've heard politicians in this country make those statements that always begin with, in the best interest of America, the best interest of my country, the best interest of the United States of America. And I always go, hold off a moment. And do you believe that our government has your best interest and your family's best interest at heart? And so the other one was core values and core interests, which I thought was interesting. Is the government harmful? I wrote that one down in a scribble. Has the government now become harmful to citizens when it comes to your interests? And the political level of Congress, the Senate, the White House, and all their appointed staff, my response is, well, absolutely not. Do they have my interest at heart, or do they have the interest of the corporate sponsors that fuel them, that underwrite them? Do they serve the interests of the corporations who paid for their campaigns? Absolutely. Absolutely. Are people still under the impression that the government, for this matter or that matter, has our best interest at heart? And I've heard politicians who have interest in the citizen's mind. That's the other one, too, that I wrote down as a scribble. They have interest in your mind. And I thought to myself, how dare you have an interest in my mind? And the American Republic, this form of government that was founded, again, away from the same people that those Irishmen are all singing about the British. But the American Republic, the form of government, is it the best in the world? Yeah. I think it started out that way. But now we come to these problems when it comes to a matter of government. Do we want to bring the guys on? You want to do that? Or you want to do it now? You want to take calls? I'm looking at Lou. Originally, our government looked after the interest of its citizens principally by leaving them alone. You are no longer left alone, are you? Politicians must be reelected in a democracy and themselves want to be reelected, and they must do both. So How do they do this? By pleasing the constituents and then arming themselves with the financial backing of some pretty interesting groups of people. It's critical understanding. And I come back to that question again. At this point in time, and everything that we've all witnessed, especially seemingly in the last 50 years, does this government represent your interests? Does this government officially, what defines itself oftentimes, and I've listened to those things, core interest, C-O-R-E, or at the best interest of our hearts, in the United States, harmful to its citizens, and I'm starting to believe that. So is it true when the government says that, or do you believe that when the government has your best interest at heart, ask yourself what that means. I know it's nebulous, and I know that's out there, but it kind of boils down to the best interest of the United States. What is, at this point in time, here we are, March 16th, 2024, 303-696-1971. Do you believe that the government, and the government isn't just the Biden administration, it isn't just the Polis administration, but the government, and do they have the best, your best interest, your family's best interest, your children or grandchildren's best interest? And how can you define that? All right, let's do what we want to do. And it's HBOT time. And into the lives of my daughter Shannon and myself has come HBOT. And Dr. McWhorter's with us. And we have the doctor. Yeah, I was thinking of my daughter. Hey, honey. There she is. Shannon, good morning.
Good morning.
You know what? Talk about the octopus. We watched the octopus on Netflix, and it triggered all of these questions I have for. Tell folks about that series on Netflix that you got me hooked into.
Yeah, I think it's called American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders. And it really does a brilliant job of the CIA and some of the operations that they've done around the world and tried to cover up. And it's really the story of this journalist who did a lot of digging and was ultimately killed for the work he was doing.
And so, I mean, it triggered a lot of the questions I have running in open lines this morning as we wait for Dr. McWhorter. But when you finish that, and you've always been a smart kid about this stuff, do you believe that the United States of America, our government, this is my question I wrote yesterday afternoon, holds your best interest? And I
no.
put, no, you don't, do you?
I'm not even going to let you finish. Right. No, but... I pay my taxes, I don't do nefarious things, and I hope that they don't know who
alone.
I am. Yeah. However, I am smart enough and have read enough and have talked to you enough about it that where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. All right, let's bring him on. Dr. McWhorter joins us, the HBOT Spa. My daughter and I are such fans. We were there Friday. Shannon, one more time, how well this has done for you, and then let's turn it over to the doctor.
Oh my gosh, it's been the biggest blessing. The doctor and the staff have just been a game changer for me and my recovering from, you know, 2 decades of horrible illness. And I love going. And when I see people I haven't seen in years, they compliment me on my skin and how good I look and seem, and that my energy's up. And I'm just so grateful that this technology is available to go and to use. And just thankful that the doctor lets us come in each week. Like that, I think we're both at 66 hours
yeah.
as of today.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jeff McWhorter. Doctor, good morning, man. Thanks.
Hey, good morning, Peter. So, yeah, great to hear you guys are still enjoying your therapies over at the HBOT Spa. And we're going to have a little bit of something different today as I myself will be manning the phones today. So wanted to give an opportunity for any of the listeners that maybe get a taste of what we're talking about in this segment to call the office that you're going to give out the number here in a minute, and they can have the opportunity to speak with me directly so I can answer their questions about their conditions and how hyperbaric specifically can help with each individual is aiming to do.
All right, here's the number, you guys, and the doctor's there as we speak. 303-353-9623. 303-353-9623. Now, I didn't buy this going in. One of my dearest friends in the old days, told me about it. I brought my daughter. She started the 2 hours first and talked about the difference. And this is when I guess the punch is that I'm hugely claustrophobic. And I said, no, you know, suck it up, get in there. And the chambers really expand. I'm reading in the chambers and on the phone a lot. So you'll get over that part of it. But this oxygen, yep. The oxygen therapy and anti-aging and performance stuff is incredible.
So, yeah, and I mean, to your point, I'm a 6'3 male myself, and I can sit up in my chambers without my head touching.
Oh, amazing.
So if that gives you an idea of how large they are the biggest chambers on the market. And, you know, to your point about Mel, I mean, Mel was not the greatest believer when he first met me, too, after suffering some aspect of stroke-like symptoms mm-hmm. and losing his gait function, but after about treatment 11, he was walking into my office, and it made him a believer in what I was telling him hyperbaric oxygen therapy can do for your nervous system firsthand. And there's a wide array of different diagnoses, all the way down to just the fact that we live in one of the healthiest states, and a lot of people are looking for wellness benefits that are easily achieved by spending an hour in a hyper-oxygenated environment that equates to a better saturation to your bloodstream that delivers better oxygen.
That's
to your
amazing.
Tissue.
It really is. I mean, yep. It is. I've told people, so they're open in Cherry Creek now, 303. The doctor's there, 303-353-9623. Shannon, anything you want to put on that?
No, I actually watched that whole Netflix Octopus Murders series while I was in the hyperbaric chamber. So you can have your phone in there. You can, you take cell phone calls in there. But, I mean, you know, it's a chance to have an hour to yourself to just relax and unwind and know that your body is loving it. And I can't thank the doctor enough. It's just been such a blessing.
Pick up the phone. He's there. Talk to the man. He's straight up. 303-353-9623. Shannon, see you a little bit later. Doctor, see you first part of the week. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
All right. 303-696-1971. Lots of text messaging on the question. Peter, you ask, does our government have my best interest at heart? Hell no. The interest is to serve their global puppet masters, and that's why I'm voting for Trump. I want him to blow the whole fascist uniparty thing up and return it to the greatness that it once was. The next one, the government seems more focused on the needs of non-citizens at this point. We're supposed to be governed by representatives from the citizenry who have our best interest at heart. We are fed a narrative that we are selfish and racist, and our primary purpose is to serve and take care of anyone who needs virtually anything, including illegal immigrants who have recently arrived. And these are not the values of the Constitution, in which we are urged to build our own lives and liberty and pursuit of happiness. 303-696-1971. Lines are open. We need to take another break. We need another break, Lou, to do this. Okay. And coming up, Ramadan. And Easter is a Christian holiday, I think most people know. And Passover is a Jewish holiday that I think most people have a working knowledge. But what about Ramadan? It's an Islamic holiday. And what does it commemorate? But all the things that go with it, and isn't it fascinating? They are all springtime religious events. Coming up, Jim Emery will talk about Ramadan. 303-696-1971. The question on the table, and it's a good one. In practical terms, when I watch a politician or elected official or even a bureaucrat talk about the best interest of the United States, what do you think that means? 303-696-1971. You know, love the music. When it's all said and done, all you can do to this music is either drink or fight. Like, do you think you can make love to this music? Would you like to ask somebody to dance? Park up on Lookout Mountain, you know, with the top down and play this music? No. This music, you can only do two things to. You can either fight or you can drink or both. That's it. Happy St. Pat's, everybody. 303-696-1971. Tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day. Got a note from the doctor. Mentioned a promotion, $200 for up to 10 sessions. And that's a great deal. Again, 303-353-9623. The man's there now. 303-696-1971. Coming up on the other side of top of the hour, I should say, Ramadan. And most people have no idea the significance of Ramadan. Now, I think most people know Easter, the Christian holiday that celebrates the resurrection, Passover, the Jewish holiday that the liberation of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. But what's Ramadan? And all of them, how close are they to one another? And he's a cultural anthropologist, longtime friend of mine, Jim Emery, comes on and talks. In the meantime, we're back. We're doing open lines on the government and you, and more things coming to us through text messaging. Peter, they serve themselves. If you're afraid of the government and its tyranny, if the government is afraid of you, it's freedom. And I think we've come a long way from what Jefferson and the framers wanted. And watching your life today. So when you, and I wrote down a bunch of questions. And by the way, has anybody seen that, The Octopus on Netflix? It's very good. So my daughter and I have been watching it, and I've been writing notes down because I knew, or I thought the show would do well with this. Do you believe that the, and her more messaging, do you believe that this government, whether it's the Polis administration or the Biden administration, do they have your best interest at heart? And it really triggered me. I've been kicking this around with some friends. When I hear the term in the best interest of our country, is the best interest of our country to send hundreds of millions of dollars worth of weaponry into the Ukraine? Is that in the best interest of our country? Is the best interest of our country what? Again, does the United States government officially define its core interest? And I've heard that term. I've been reading a lot of listening to political speeches or reading political speeches. Do you believe that our government has your family's best interest at heart? The one that's most interesting is, how can they serve as many masters as they must? I've always been this, the idea for me was always been for public finance of elections. I thought term limits and public finance of elections would do away with a lot of this. But on this level where the Congress and the Senate, and for that matter, the White House, all of their appointed staff, they have to raise money. And where do they get that money? Well, they have the interests of the corporate sponsors at heart, the multinational corporations, the petroleum companies, the arms manufacturers, General Dynamics, and other General Dynamics. They serve the interest of the corporations who paid for their campaigns. I mean, so when the phone rings, when it's Lou the producer calling, or whether the phone rings and it's somebody from General Dynamics, who do you think takes the call? And I still say much of American foreign policy since the end of the Second World War has been precisely that. It has been run by multinational corporations using the military to protect themselves. Ski season is in full swing, and the snow is good. And a lot of people, the springtime skiing is so much better. You know what it means? It's time to get to Larson's Ski and Sport. John Marriott, Jack Marriott, Paul, all the folks that are there, we've known them forever. Get all the new gear for the season. Make sure, by the way, that you get demo skis, like the new stuff, and try it out. Snowboards the same way. If you're a renter, then you want the very, very best. Guys at Larson's take the time to get to know you, get to know your family, match you with all the right brands so you can enjoy your time on the hill. Convenient on the way up, you're westbound on I-70, get off on the Kipling exit, come down the ramp, make a left, come underneath I-70, come out on the other side, heading south, look to your right, you see a big wooden building, Crab Shack next to that big wooden building, Larson Ski and Sport. John and the guys at Larson's, absolute experts at everything that you will need for winter sports. Stop by today, tell them I sent you. Larson Ski and Sport, 7 days a week. Again, easy to find. South of I-70 on Kipling, 303-423-0654. 303-423-0654. It's larsonsport.com. 7 days a week, Larson Sport, they are there, back to the wall. The best interest of our country is to defeat Putin. So, yes, I believe that. The best interest of our country is to defeat Putin. I don't understand the involvement in these wars. We were listening to John Caldera at the end of his show, and he had a caller, and they were talking about when did the United States of America get into the Second World War. Well, certainly way before Pearl Harbor, the United States is in the war. The First World War, not so much, although, you know, Woodrow Wilson wanted in, but then after Lusitania and after the torpedoes, allegedly, and again, there's the historians debate it, but then the United States does get in. Peter, at this point, I question our involvement in Europe in World War II. Let the European inbreds fight amongst themselves. No. I mean, if you know what the Germans were planning and what the Germans were doing. Now, the answer to that isn't, you know, and that's FDR. FDR wants in that war. And they do lend-lease. We talked about that earlier. They're giving these World War I destroyers to the British, and they're getting replacement. They're being allowed, the United States is given access to ports and access to parts of the world that we had no access with before. I think when was it Iceland or Greenland, Newfoundland, I think Bermuda was part of that deal that the United States Navy was then going to be allowed to come into ports. And that was the deal, the lend and the lease. Now, they wanted in. They wanted in Europe. FDR wants in that war. They didn't. Not so much with the Japanese. However, the United States of America was helping arm the Chinese, was helping, being very much involved with the Chinese. And if you remember that there was an organization called the Flying Tigers, Claire Chennault, and I had one of the most incredible experiences I had doing this job was I got to meet Pappy Boyington and spend time with Boyington. He flew with the Tigers. Back to the wall. In general, I believe the government has the best interest of its citizens in mind. With that said, there always be and have always been those in the government that place their own interest above the citizens. Donald Trump is a classic example of that. To the wall. They serve themselves. Does the American government represent the interest of its citizens? And I hear politicians in our country, and do you believe the government has our best interest at heart? Does the U.S. government officially do what for you? And again, do you believe the government, and I love asking myself this, truly has my best interest or my family's best interest as a priority? The American Republic, because we are a republic, form of government is the best in the world. Politicians and bureaucrats have done what? So when you watch this stuff, what do you come away with? Can you give an answer that isn't as cynical as the ones we've been? No, I think not. Does the government have your best interest at heart? Is the U.S. government harmful to its citizens when it comes to their interests? And is it true the government does not have our best interest in mind? So, again, how can we reform our government so it does have our best interest in heart? And that's really down to the bottom line of the question. And it is trusting the government. I don't trust the government. How can the government get back my trust? How can the government get back your trust? Do you really actually trust these people? I don't. And I think you can give example after example after example. They're not trustworthy. They don't deserve your trust. Is there a way possibly that these people can win your trust back? What did the man say? Not in my lifetime. 303-696-1971. The weather, high 40s today, much the same Monday, the sun comes back and stays out. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. All right. The coincidence. Easter, Passover, and Ramadan. And when you ask yourself, I think most people understand Easter, the holiday that celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Passover is a Jewish holiday, obviously, that commemorates the liberation of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Although, if you ask an Egyptian about that, they'll tell you a different story. And now comes Ramadan. And why is it significant? To the wall, Peter. Unfortunately, money dominates our political scene to the detriment of everyone. As far as supporters for the Ukraine, history should be our guide in supporting democracies and stopping autocrats like Putin. We are the last best hope of the world. Let's not forget it. Again, to the wall, if the recent texter believes that we have to defeat Putin, would they be okay with sending our troops so that we can defeat Putin? To the wall, we need at least 4,500 representatives and 1,000 senators. What do you want to do with this? do you want to get us out of this? All right, get us out of this. Let's come back. And the significance of Ramadan. It's a Saturday morning, 710 KNUS, Denver Stock Station.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.